I want to try something different tonight. I want to start by giving you guys 30 seconds to just sit in the silence and kind of reflect on the holiness of Christmas. So how was that for you? Was it calming, peaceful? Kind of hoped that moment would last and last? Or was there a part of you that got a little bit anxious and nervous and was wondering what the next thing was going to be and how long was this guy going to stand up here in silence and your brain was running on and are the kids going to stay quiet? Wasn't quite sure how it would go for me. I have to tell you, I made it all of 6 seconds before I looked at my stopwatch. We're not used to being still and being silent. So the truth is, our lives are crazy. We live in this go, go, go world where there's so much going on. There's so much we're trying to cram in. There's always more to do and more to accomplish. And it's hard for us to just slow down and be still. Our lives are crazy. This world is crazy. There's always something else going on, and it's hard for us to find peace. Life went pretty crazy for the shepherds that night. Life is a little bit slower paced for them. Not that it was perfect or idyllic or anything like that, but they were used to at least a little bit of peace and quiet at night as they were there watching over their flocks at night. And suddenly, Luke tells us, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Giant, terrifying being is suddenly in front of them with this message. Life had gone crazy. But then the angel speaks, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, as if this one angel wasn't enough, suddenly there was this huge host of angels, legion upon legions of angels, crying out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." It must have seemed like the world went crazy. The angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest," and that's where we want to focus our attention tonight. What does it mean for you and I to sing glory to God? What does it mean for us to give glory to God, to stop in all the hustle and the bustle and the motion and the commotion of our lives and give glory to God? Simply this, is to recognize that God is king over the universe. He is the center of all that exists. It means to recognize his rightful place, that he is first, and that we and everything else in life comes second to that. There's four big movements throughout the story of Scripture that help us to understand what it means to give glory to God. The first is this. It's the story of creation. In the beginning, before anything else, before even time itself, God was. And then God, out of the goodness of his heart, out of his essence of love, decided to create this world, a good and a perfect and a wonderful world, a world that was ordered and it was right and it worked. Everything functioned the way it was supposed to. Everything we needed was provided for us. God made all that we needed, all that was to be. And he looked out at his creation and he said, "This is good." And he was pleased. Then it moves, The second part is to the fall. God created people. He created us to be the crown jewel of this creation. And he put us there to care for creation. And our work was a joy, not a burden. And we were to be stewards over this earth. There was only one thing that we were not to do, was to eat from one particular tree in the garden. But you probably know the story. Adam and Eve chose to do that one thing. And when they did, the world went crazy. In this one small act that seems so insignificant to us, rebellion and sin and death entered into the world. One generation, it shifted from just a poor dietary choice to brother killing brother. In 10 generations, it had gotten so bad that God needed to wipe the earth clean with a flood. But even that didn't really solve the problems. Our world is still crazy, still filled with rebellion and sin and death and destruction. Pain and suffering, you know the headlines. Look around, the breaking news that's out there now. Struggles with North Korea, with Russia, with the Middle East. The national level, politicians that are racked by one sex abuse scandal after another and yet seem totally incapable of solving any of our problems that our nation faces. On a personal level, we grieve the loss of loved ones and those that we won't get to see this time of year. We grieve also those who won't be coming home because family members aren't speaking to one another. We struggle to make ends meet and to pay for all the things that we put under the tree because we try to cover up all of that pain with those decorations and celebrations. Husband and wife fall out of love and some get divorced and others just resign themselves to being stuck in a marriage that was not what they hoped it would be. Rates of loneliness, depression, self-harm, and suicide are at all-time highs. Our life has gone crazy. It's filled with suffering and pain. How does one small act of eating the wrong kind of fruit create all of this mess? Simply put, in the fall, we put ourselves at the center of our world. We decided what we thought was right and wrong, and what we wanted became most important. Every sinful act has that at its center, that we decide we know what's right rather than listening to God and His guidance. The center of rebellion, the center of sin, is that we think that we're first and God is second, and we're living outside His plan and His purpose for that. Selfishness destroys the life that God created. But the story of Scripture doesn't end with the fall. Instead, it takes us to redemption. It takes us to this evening when God decided not to abandon the mess that we had created, but instead sent His Son Jesus to be born into the mess, born into the mess of this stinky, smelly stable, born into the mess that you and I have created by our rebellion, born to be a Savior, born to be one who would suffer the consequences of all the wrong actions and all the selfishness that's in this world, to come and to take that upon Himself, to suffer those consequences on the cross, to die in our place for our wrong actions. The angel sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth." And Jesus comes to bring peace with God, peace for every sinful thought, peace for every hurtful action, peace for every way that we have put ourselves at the center of our world at the expense of others. Jesus comes to bring peace to you and me. Peace between us and God, peace between us and ourselves, peace between us and others. But then from redemption, it also moves to restoration, the way God is fixing this world. Some of you have met my dad. My dad is an antique tractor nut. He loves old tractors. And where I see a bucket of rust sitting out in a field, he sees a treasure. And he goes out and he buys this treasure and he brings it back home. And little by little, he takes it apart and he gets it running again. And he paints it up and he puts it all back together and makes it look like a brand new tractor. That's what God is doing for you and me, in you and me. He's redeemed us on the cross, but he is also about the business of restoring us, about fixing us, about helping us to work right again, to help us to live into the fullness of what we were meant to be. He comes to restore our lives, to restore this peace on earth. The angels sang glory to God that night. We are called to give glory to God. To give glory to God as the Lord of creation and the Savior of the world. We're called to sing His praises, to give Him thanks, to worship Him. Please understand me, when we're doing this tonight, when we are giving glory to God tonight, it's not as if we are trying to put God back in the center. See, that still has too much of us in it. God has always been at the center, but what we're called to do this evening as we sing His praise and we give glory to God, we're called to recognize that He's first, that we're second. We're called to not live into that rebellion anymore of trying to act against Him, but to recognize His rightful place and then sing His praises, to receive His gift of peace, to receive His gift of forgiveness and salvation, to tell others of the marvelous things that He has done. And as we do, God comes into our lives. He begins to sort out the mess, resolve those hurts, resolve those pains, and bring us peace. So may this night, as you remember the birth of Christ, remember this marvelous action of God of breaking into our mess and our muck, may you remember that God is first. May you give glory to God this night, and may you live always in His peace. Amen. May that peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.